Welcome to Making Room, a podcast inspiring people to accelerate change by being a catalyst, honoring creativity, and acting with courage. We are making room for the greatest potential of our community. Welcome back to Making Room. This is Shivani speaking solo for a little bit because I'm going to do something a little bit different here. I have challenged the guys here as my wannabe teacher self to a homework assignment for the next episode, and I'm curious what's going to happen, but we talk a lot about the men's group that they met at, and I have always been fascinated by the fact that a group of guys are getting together and breaking the stereotypical norm of what you might imagine what a group of guys do when they hang out with each other, to really talk about tough issues and get to know each other on a deeper level. And I'm fascinated by how they made that happen, because it's just not the typical thing that happens when you get a group of guys together, from what I understand. I never hang out with groups of guys, but I thought, let me challenge these guys to a questioning of how they got to where they are and how they became friends and how they got to that deeper level. So I'm curious what happens. Just like my daughter gives assignments to Uncle Johnny, I'm giving them an assignment this round.
All right. Welcome back to Making Room. Brandon, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Good to see you. I know we have our partner in crime, Shivani, is not in studio today. She actually wanted us to do this to hear more about how we got to know each other, some of the groups we've been in, and she loves to listen. So she's actually going to listen and comment and be able to share some thoughts with us, and actually gave us some questions. So she's with us in spirit, and we'll get a chance to hear more from her towards the end of this. We need like a picture of her right here. So
yeah. So she asked us sort of our story, and a lot of people were interested to know about our men's group, which started out, as we talked about before, which was seven black guys, seven white guys getting together to initially talk about race. And we grew into something more where we're just brothers and really good friends. And we'll have the two guys who started that group hopefully on in future episodes. But the interesting question was, which we had to think about, how did two of you then become close within that group?
Yeah.
And I think where it started, and maybe you'll remember this, is that we were charged with, we had different committees. I mean, there were makeshift committees, right? We'll joke about the social committee when the other guys come.
Yeah. But Dre and Chef, yeah, that's for you.
That's right. That's right. But we were in charge of the speakers committee, the guest speakers. And so we had guest speakers come, and we've had some phenomenal guest speakers come to talk to us. Two of my favorite, of course, are Harvey Gantt and Hugh McCall. Just hearing from them about Charlotte as a native Charlottean, it was great. And in our partnership in securing those speakers, that's when we really got to know each other.
Yeah. I really think that was because, you know, when I look back at how we started that group, which was really neat, because, you know, David Webb and Will Alston were mutual board members on the men's shelter. And I remember we first got together volunteering for the men's shelter. And so we were brought together in purpose and for a purpose. And it just became, you know, 8 years ago, we were really doing some great work with each other. And we started before even the speakers are, the 30 for 30s. We call them like our little ESPN 30 for 30s, how we, you know, we started two guys per month would share pretty openly. And we started learning things about each other that we just never knew. There were guys I went to college with that I learned about things. And so we really invested in those relationships. And I think we went from relationships to then a learning context and learning through and in community and having those speakers. And I think that's where, aside from your personal story, I just really, you and I had so many similar interests, and I respected, like, everywhere I went, I was like, yeah, Brandon, Neil and I are getting speakers. Oh yeah, I know Brandon. Yeah. No, I know him. Yeah, absolutely. Of course. And, you know, we had, like you said, the Harvey Gantt, Mr. McCall, and so many people that just really poured into us. And I think that's where the commitment to community, which is a big right. part of this Making Room conversation, is, you know, how we give back, how we bring people with us. And I think every time too, I had someone maybe I was mentoring or had a conversation right. with, like, I just knew the first person, you got to talk to Brandon. And I think when you do that for 8 years, and then you would connect them with two or three other people, it just formed a bond of just deep, deep respect.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Make me feel good about myself here and a little bit of shame, but I will say the feeling's mutual. And so there've been times where I've like, when people want to do something meaningful or they're at a crisis point, I say, you got to go talk to John. John will tell you how to plug in, who you need to talk to. So I think that's meaningful. The other thing, you know, we give you a hard time about always being the one who has an icebreaker or making just normal conversation. Like when you just get together, having, okay, we're really going to get to know each other. And I think I appreciated that because there's too much. And this is one of my pet peeves. And I didn't realize a pet peeve until probably through COVID is there's too much just superficial conversation, even among really good friends. A lot of time it's just talk, taking it at the surface level and keeping it at what I'll call the social media level, and never really delving down deeper in terms of how are you really doing? What's really going on? What are you really feeling? I don't want to see your picture of your nice dinner on social media and that everything's great. How are you really doing? And I feel like you are very good at driving those conversations and those moments and experiences and feelings out of people, even when they don't want it. So I definitely appreciated that too.
Yeah. And, you know, so we can go right there. Cause you know, we're going to ask some questions and reenact. And I guess what were in that group, how we got to know each other, what were ways that you felt, and I'll answer it too, that you really grew? Like what were some key moments that your perspective or mindset shifted or brought you closer to the men in the group?
Yeah. No, that was a great point. I think for a period of time, and I'm curious what other guys in the group would say, for a period of time, I think there, and it's always probably in society too, it felt like there was a role of the black guys in the group to educate, right? And so I think that's kind of, we settle in that role, and some of the white guys in the group are saying, okay, I need to learn about these things. But when we had the situation with a student who you mentored and took in, I mean, you went over and above for this student. I mean, just how much effort you gave to the student was just impressive in itself. But when we had this student who was a leader in his class, a leader in this cohort, a group of kids we were mentoring, play Laser Quest with, he was just the leader. He was the guy, right? Yeah. Like we all saw, oh, he has potential. He had scholarship.
College football scholarship.
Everything. Yeah. And when he got in trouble and, you know, was hanging out with the wrong crowd and got in trouble with the law, I think it was easy for us as African-American males who have seen this story play out so many times to say, oh, well, that's what happens. That's, you know, that's it. But the white guys in the group, you guys just mobilized. I mean, you flipped into gear. You're like, who can we call? How do we get this taken care of? This bail system is crazy. Like everything that you guys did, it had us thinking, and me personally, oh my gosh, have I been jaded in some way that when these things happen, because they've happened so much in my experience, that I've just become jaded and I throw my hands up. And I think that was a learning experience and growth for me, is that there's always something more that I can give, something more I can do, and to not become, as some of our previous guests have said, socialized in a way that I think, oh, you can't do that. Yeah. It's lost cause, right? So I'm curious about yours, but just maybe your reaction to that experience. But that was an incredible growth experience for the African-American guys in the group.
Yeah, and I think that one was one in particular, and having had family members who have, you know, had challenges with incarceration, of just how quickly that system is designed to make people forget about a human life, right? You know, in this case, a young man who made a mistake. And just that when we have resources, and, you know, we had a couple lawyers in the group to really make sure that we could try things. But just to see, that was growth, I think, to really understand how thin the margin is, especially if you're a young black male in this community. Just like the margin for mistakes is so small, right? And just to think about how challenging it was to get support for him outside of his immediate family. And I think for me, what changed over time, because I'm a very empathetic person, And when I hear stories, something usually changes inside me, is just really having not had some deeper relationships with men of different backgrounds. Right. And before that group, maybe knowing people, hey, I played football with you, or right. we did this together, and having played football my whole life, but not really getting to the depths of yeah. like what it's like to be a Black man in the world. And then seeing, especially in our group, you know, men who are successful in their careers, right. socioeconomically and in leadership roles. And then still just like the frequency of things that, you know, you would battle.
Right.
And in my mind, thinking, I remember early on, this is 7-8 years ago, and I'm definitely not, you know, proud to share it, but it's real, of like, I had the mindset of, we've made progress,
yeah,
right? Obama's the president, yeah. right? And we've all seen how true, not true that is, especially in the past year, and how much work we have to do, because right. these mindsets are in the ground. But when you're not proximate to the pain and the struggle, I would say for myself in the group, it can create a mindset of, you know, I don't understand that, or gosh, like, why can't we talk about the positive things?
Yeah.
And so the growth in me was to learn to just listen.
Right.
And to not try to solve, not try to be a part of the solution really in any way, but to just, I remember we've had so many deep conversations, and there were times I remember calling Will just like crying the next morning.
Right.
And like, yo, bro, like, man, I don't know what to do. Like, I've never heard things like that. I've never experienced that. And he would say things like, you know, it's just helpful for us to get those things out.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And like, but my mind would want to go to, what do I need to do differently? And it has dramatically changed my career in several iterations, and how I approach life.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome to hear. And you know, when you get past a lot of it, and I would even put even just the premise of our group a little bit with the race, and we need to get more diverse as well. I think when you move past that, even that's kind of a superficial level, what you start to embody, which is interesting, because we started out with this group before a lot of the most recent racial sort of tensions and issues came. And we're very focused on talking about race. But as now, which is probably most of the more heightened racial tensions that we've had in the time of our group, we don't deliberately talk about race.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, right? Because I think it very much, we have moved past that level of, hey, I'm a Black guy, you're a white man. Like, it is more of, that's my brother. Yeah, we come from different perspectives. Like, I share a different perspective because I grew up in this skin, and maybe you did too. But when you boil that down, a lot of what my interests and my goals are the same as your interests and your goals and your hurts, your fears, your anxieties. They're a lot the same. They just come out a little bit differently. And I think that's where we are as part of this group. And I'm interested when more of the group comes to talk about it and see their yeah. perspective and just how it's formed. But I think that's where we are now. And I wish, and I hope that there's more of that, especially among men who sometimes don't always express right their true emotions to their true feelings.
It's true. And there's a lot of, you know, bias, or I'll call ill preconceived notions about what it means to be a man. And
yeah.
and truth
yeah.
be told, I've struggled with the, you know, having been an athlete and a football player, and quote, what it means to be tough, and, you know, all these things we hear, boys don't cry, right. men don't share feeling, all this stuff,
yeah.
right? And then having a person who has a real, like, for me, I'll say I have a really hard time connecting at a surface level. Like, I get right. bored so quickly,
yeah.
right? I want to know. And sometimes I also have to pull back, right? Because there's boundaries. Like, I can't always ask, how's your heart? What's
yeah,
going on?
Right.
You know, like, yeah. yo, I just
want to
lead
with that.
I just want to have some fun tonight.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Let's put some music on.
Yeah.
And so it is a good balance. But I think what I would look at in the stages of our group that really is a model for how this really we get to the change we're at, right? It's
right.
not, no more, it's not my white friends and Black friends. It's
right.
my friends.
My friends.
Yeah. It's my brothers. And we went from building relationships for a year to, I'll call, the shared experience.
That's right.
And having a, you know, going to Atlanta to
yeah.
see East Lake and
right.
to look at the model for Renaissance West and purpose-built communities, and having a purpose-based trip. And yeah, we
even
had
a guy's trip is perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Like we could really integrate community change into that. But then now the way I describe it is like, these are just people I want to navigate life with.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, when it came time for us to possibly do work together, I just always, and Brandy, our other colleague who, you know, is our, the glue and architect behind the scenes, you know, she asked, well, why you and Brandon? Yeah. And I think, one, I want people to see some things I've seen, and we have an example of this, which is really cool. But every
time, I feel like you're going to embarrass me.
Always. But every time I heard you speak, you spoke from a depth of your soul. And you spoke, I felt like, whether you're spiritual, whatever religion, you, that something was working through you. And I would, you had my full attention, and that there was so much purpose in your words that I just like, I wanted to, like, when you're talking, I want to be there. Right. I've been to Friendship Baptist, seeing you interview Anthony Fox. Right. I'm just thinking about it now. I've seen you up on stage right before the, you know, we went to the Museum of African American History and Culture with Communities and Schools. I've seen you at events. I've seen you introduce speakers, and, you know, let Brian, if they have it queued up, this is a video of a documentary from Lloyd Visuals. And this to me is when people say, give me 60 seconds on who Brandon Neal is and what he's about. Like, this is what I would send them.
I'll leave you with this as a challenge. And it's a challenge based in hope that when I'm really, really old, many years from now, my great grandchildren will wheel me back up here. And instead of seeing all the things at the top of these museums that have been achieved in spite of our history, that I'll see new accomplishments that we achieved because of our history. So that the history of future generations is because we reconciled our past today, that we have created a culture of equality, of liberty and justice for all, truly for all, that propels the next generation.
Wow. You just played that. Embarrassing. You know what's funny? I did not know what I was going to say leading up to that. I kind of had some thoughts in my head. And one of the things you mentioned, a lot of the speaking engagements that I've, speaking occurrences, instances that I've done, one of the things that I said, so I'm naturally, I think I mentioned it on here. Someone reminded me that I was a shy kid, especially compared to my brother, who's more outgoing. And even now, sometimes I'll still get nervous when I speak to groups. And I always say this little prayer that, you know, God or whatever people are listening, believe in, speak through me. May your words speak through me. Mm-hmm. Like, these are not my words. So I will tell you, the words usually aren't my own. Like, I'm not, like, I'm just the vessel, because I feel like there's something out there that needs to be said, and I'm just a good vessel to do it. Yeah. But these words sometimes come based on the moments, based on the connections, and based on people who are there who need to hear something in that moment. And that was one of them. This maybe not ties in, but just to illustrate the point that it's really not me. So funny enough, I have no problem talking. I could talk to a crowd of 100,000 people easily, but talking to a crowd of like 10, freaks me out.
Yeah.
Right. It's really weird. And I've been trying to, and actually after the session, the episode we did with Nate Sally, I've been trying to express more with my kids and bring them in on the process. He said, you know, I set my kids down and we talked through this career decision. And so I was talking to my son, and he just started kindergarten, and he was very nervous. He was like, I'm anxious about starting kindergarten. And I was like, you know what? You are anxious, but you're an outgoing kid. Like, you always make new friends. Everywhere we go, you're making new friends. You're going to be fine. You've done it before. And then I said, but you know what? It's okay to be anxious. And I was like, you know what? I have this meeting coming up with our team on Zoom, which I don't really like. And it's about 20 people, 25 people. And I'm nervous about it. And he told me, he said, Daddy, you speak to hundreds of thousands of people. 25 is nothing. You got it.
You got it.
As a 5-year-old. But it's just inspiring. It's like, yeah, you're right. But, you know, that kind of, it just goes to show you, I'll circle, I promise I'll loop it back in, just that, you know, some of these times, I don't feel like, to your point, I feel like something is speaking through me, and there's something bigger than me. And that's what we talk about with purpose, spirituality, whatever you believe in, is something bigger than each individual. And I think we connected on that through these shared experiences that we went through, as well as some of our discussion over the last year and a half.
Yeah, and it occurs to me, I wrote the word down clear.
Right.
So when I hear that, I hear clarity. I heard conviction. I heard character. And those words mean a great deal to me. One of the principles of this podcast, we said, is courage. And right. One definition of that is the ability to have the character to honor your values, even in hard times.
Right.
And when I heard that in your voice, it strikes me as something I want to stand for. And I think ultimately there's a quote I saw one time that said, the quickest way to free a soul is to give it purpose. And
that's a great quote.
And I want to stand for that.
Yeah.
I want to stand for equality.
Right.
Not I want to, I will. And I would stand with you. And I just want you to know that when I hear that, the next generation and how meaningful that is for us, and that we're making room. We're hopeful that we create conditions to create the change so people can really have the clarity to say what they need to say and someone will listen. I just think you do that. We've had the chance to do it within our group. And, you know, when you think about the two words, yeah, next generation, what's the first thing that comes to mind in your heart?
Well, I think it's optimistic. I'm optimistic about next generation. And I just think about kids. You know, I actually heard on, I can't remember exactly what, I think it was on NPR somewhere, where if you want to show, and this doctor scientist, they were talking and said, if you want to see, if a governor gave me millions of dollars and said, I want to know an indicator for the future of my state, he would say, I would point to childhood experiences. That's what I would point to, hands down. And so I really think that's what it's all about. And that's why we're gravitated towards, when we hear someone, a young person who speaks so powerfully, like a Furu in our previous episode, we gravitate towards them, because that's the future. That's the optimistic part, for the reasons we talked about. The other thing I'll tell you too, because we you've highlighted on masculinity, I do think there is, in terms of the next generation, I think very hard about this, about my role as a man in this society, and sort of what am I modeling for my kids, and being vulnerable, right? Which I think has been, you know, a progress that we joke about on here, yeah, right? But I think that's been a progress. But those are the things I immediately think about. What about you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think it's so important. You know, we've said it a few times on this show, is that if we're going to really create change and lead movements, that we've got to be moved by something bigger than ourselves. And to me, being moved does start with emotion, that there's an emotional connection. You know, there's a professor at Stanford who talks about that movements start first with just an absolute dissatisfaction with the status quo. That people are just really dissatisfied, and they're moved then by what we're capable of. And I think for me, it is something that, it's like, I'm 40 years old now. And, you know, I used to catch a lot of heck from people to be, oh yeah, that's John's a deep cat, right? Or he's emotional, or like people make comments. And sometimes when people make comments now, I'm like, hey, is that necessary?
Right.
Like, we can joke, but this is me. And this is what you're getting. When you come into my home, I'm going to ask how you're doing.
You definitely do that.
Yeah. So I think it sometimes is being like, I really love the idea of being uncategorized.
Right.
And why do I have to fit in a box? You know, because I would identify as a man, determine the level of care and emotion that I could have? And why should I try? And I think that's ultimately why we have historic rates around depression and suicide in young people, and, you know, social media, and trying to fit into what you should be versus what you're feeling, and having a culture where people could actually, and when you look at it from community change, where people can really express their joy and fun, but also can express like when they're going through tough times. And I think about that in our relationship, where I've been able to call you where I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. And the podcast is too much work.
You don't mean that.
No, this is crazy. And then you're just like, I hear you.
Right.
And those are powerful words when you can just say to someone, I hear you, I see you.
Right.
And by the way, I accept and have room for the full spectrum of your humanity.
Right.
And that's what I think what is important to me to model is if somebody is feeling emotion or there, I'm there right there with them in that emotion. And I've got so much room and capacity for whatever they're feeling. I'm not trying to change them.
Right.
I'm not trying to get maybe to that place myself, but I'm going to totally be with them. And so I just look at, I think we've got a lot of work to do. And the way I look at it is to not try to change anybody else.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just to really like be myself. And now I've gotten to the point where it's like, yeah, I love the fact that I get really emotional about humanity.
Right.
And when I read quotes about Ubuntu and I'm only a person through other persons, or when I hear, for example, the Doc Rivers story, when Doc Rivers won the NBA championship and he incepted the idea of Ubuntu and his team, and they started operating from that principle. And then midway through the season, his father passes away. And this is a show on Netflix. It's Coach's Playbooks. It's LeBron James produced show. And I can't watch it without getting emotional because his father passes away. He's not there. And they had lived this philosophy where your joy is my joy, your pain is my pain. And Kevin Garnett calls him at halftime and says, hey, coach, I'm sad because you're sad. And Doc Rivers can hardly tell that story, right? This is a group of NBA men. And he says, at that point, I knew we were going to win the NBA championship. Because this was much bigger than a basketball game. This was much bigger than a basketball team. And emotion and heart and purpose can take you there.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. There's a lot in what you just said. Two things that I want to loop back to and also connect with our discussion on the men's group. So over this past, I would say a couple years, I noticed it when you quit your job, which we joked about on here. You know, I don't think.
Wait, you mean when you told me to leave?
No, I did not tell you. That was
Kirby did. Kirby did.
Don't put that on my phone. No, yeah.
I'm going to get a text. Yeah, she probably listens to the recording.
That's right.
No,
that's right.
She's amazing.
Yeah. But I did get a glimpse into it when you went through that experience of some of the pressure of living up to what a man, and I'm doing air quotes, a man should be in our society and what he should do and the what he should put as a priority, right? And I don't think I don't think I understood it as much from the white male perspective as I did from the group, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that I have been noticing starting with our group, and I've had this conversation with a lot of my guy friends, which I never had before COVID, right? Like we talk a lot of, I mean, it had to be something bad where I had a male friend say, hey, man, I'm going through it. I'm not okay, right?
Yeah.
It's always, have you watched the Panthers? Have you watched Tar Heels? Like, you know, like.
Can you believe that higher?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're going on this trip. It's all superficial stuff.
Yeah.
But with since COVID, I've noticed a lot more. And actually, maybe with you, maybe I'm starting to pull this out of people because I talk to you so much. But even with Nate, our conversation with Nate and Sally, that I had one off, I'm noticing a lot more transparency, a lot more substance there, a lot more of, hey man, I'm dealing with this. This is what I dealt with. This is how I got through it. And I think we just need more of that. The other thing I'll mention too is I do think we often try to change people. And I don't think that's, and I agree with you, we shouldn't try to change people. And I think that's sometimes dangerous. And I think it's going back to more of just connecting with people on the personal level and having these conversations.
Yeah. And I think being open that I feel even still now, I feel it when I talk about maybe counseling or something. It's almost like a hush hush.
Right.
You know, I'm on my third or fourth counselor in the last 3 years. Like I love it. And I've done different forms of it. I've done CB cognitive behavioral therapy. I've done ADHD coaching and positive psychology. And now I'm doing some somatic healing work. And I think just normalizing that sometimes we're human beings and like I'm not okay is real.
Yeah.
And that like having professional, like having friends who can listen, but then also having professionals around. And, you know, it was, that was the part that was, I think, just the more connectivity we can have across our cultures and teams and communities. You know, that's what in Oprah and Bruce Perry's book, What Happened to You, where they talked about, you know, Oprah asked Dr. Perry, well, what happens if you don't have access to counseling and all the, you know, because this stuff is not inexpensive.
Right.
And I remember her, he said, well, historically, there were four things that really healed people and individuals. And the first thing was being able to have meaningful conversations and for it to not to have a depth, right? It's
right.
Certainly it's fun to talk about sports around. We do that too, but
right.
Sometimes you have to really weave in and out of really what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
And the second thing, which is very much something you and I and a lot of us have in common, is rhythm. And right. that the importance of having music and rhythm and sounds and drumming in historic cultures was very healing, and to be able to leverage that. I love how, you know, Navant, you all had the Welcome Back Festival with musicians. And the third thing was that you have a sense of your core values and that you're able to honor those day to day. Because if you're in a job or a role or something where you feel like you can't be your true self, that's difficult. And the fourth was some kind of plant, you know, transcendental work. I don't know what it is this day and age, but I was just interested in it.
That
even with in the absence of the access to that, having relationships that are meaningful really can be healing for people.
Yeah. And I think even more so as we go through this time of COVID and just people being isolated, I do think that's going to be more of an impactful, important point. One of the things I'll share too, it's crazy. You talk about it being hush hush. It's crazy to think that the most complex organ in our body is the brain. This is where Shivani's going to have to jump in and keep us honest. We're getting outside of our territory.
She's licking her chops right now.
That's right. Yeah. But it's crazy to think that the most complex organ in our body doesn't need a periodic checkup. That it's not okay to check in on it or talk to somebody about how it's working, how it's functioning, right? When we do it all the time with everything else.
What we've learned, hopefully, as a society through COVID, through the pandemic, and now we're seeing it, you know, things and cases rise again with the Delta variant, is that we used to talk about organizations from, okay, what's the output performance? Right. Then slowly in the last 10 years, I feel like purpose has become a bigger conversation. Like organizations need to have meaning. Now you're starting to see they need to have a stance on key causes, on social and environmental justice and different causes. So we call those causes. I think the next phase, I hope, within cultures, wherever you're at, is environments of healing.
Yeah.
And can you be in an environment at work and at home where you can really be yourself and people can get resources and access, that it's more than just your outputs. And, you know, as we close out today, and I know we'll continue more of this. This has been really cool. Most people don't, we just sort of start talking and see what happens.
That's right.
But what are you either from, you know, the topics today or from the last year or two, I'm just curious, like, what are you walking away with from this conversation or from today?
Yeah. I want to stick with one of the last things you said about providing a place for people to be themselves. I have this. Whenever someone comes talk to me and says, hey, you know, like career advice or what are you, you know, what's been work for you? And I explained to them this concept of a delta, of triangle, a delta, right? And you have three data points, right? And if you can minimize the delta or the difference between those three data points, you're doing pretty well at the end of the day. And the first one is how you want to be perceived. Second is how people actually perceive you. And the third is who you really are. And if all those things are pretty much very closely aligned and one and the same, then you are doing really well because you're living in your purpose, who you really are. It's how people perceive you. And it's also you're comfortable with how you want people to perceive you. Right. But if you have any distance between a lot of those things, and some of them are out of whack where you're one way, but you want to portray yourself as another way, or you think you're portraying yourself one way and people see you completely different, then you have issues. And so that's, again, and I think it all goes back to purpose. And I know I talk about this all the time on this podcast, but I do really think that that is And then that is so important. And I think we've heard it in all of our speakers. And so as I think about the future and just takeaway, I just think it's so important that we find purpose in whatever we're doing. Because it provides direction, it provides meaning, it keeps you connected. You find others with purpose. And we didn't talk about it, but I think how we connected is that we had unified purpose. We didn't know what the purpose was.
Yeah, we didn't.
But we could tell, I could see something in him. He has some kind of purpose. He's purpose driven. And so am I.
Yeah.
So that's my answer. What about yours?
Well, I'm going to answer that and come to your first question. That I think is super important, that you and I had a shared sense of purpose on service to others, caring about people, seeing ourselves and those around us. I remember when the batch maker got flooded and you and Kirby were getting cleaning supplies, and you sent a note out that you felt like it was your bakery that was flooded. And I remember then I heard that from you. So I donated money for the cleaning supplies. Right. I didn't know them as well as you, but
the batch maker, she's coming back by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. And so I think we had really connected in that. So when you do have some different styles, right, you and I are learning about different approaches to things but when you have the shared purpose, like you can really, like, your growth can accelerate and you feel like you're just rolling, you're on this journey with someone. And that's what I felt about you, and now we're on this journey together, which is super awesome. Who knows where this will be. And I guess I would say, to ant the final question, the thought is just to really, I'm struck with maintaining curiosity with like just how people are doing, right?
Yeah.
And I had a old friend yesterday that was just like being kind of like really short in her email messages. And I part of me was like, God, what's up with her? You know?
Right.
And then it turns out that, you know, we had a conversation that there was some really deep stuff going on. And so I'm just struck. I remember feeling like, I think something's going on with her. I should check on her.
Yeah.
Right. And just so like sending people texts sometimes, like, how you doing? Everything going okay? And you find out things like, hey, no, I'm not. And then also just when you are an empath or you feel a lot, like, to something that there has to be, I'll say for me, like boundaries around feelings. Like I can't always be feeling so close to what someone else is. So there's got to be times to protect, to renew, recharge, and recognize that it's, as Shivani would probably say, it can be a superpower, but also like a hindrance to not have, you know, so much emotion involved in decision making, but also to renew and take care of yourself. So as she would say, the ribs around the heart.
Yep, that's
and,
right.
And we hope to all you listeners in our community that they're, think about someone that's made room for you and or where you want to go deeper in a relationship. And hopefully that'll continue creating and making the room for the greatest potential of our community.
And it is so good to be back in the studio with you guys. I had a chance to listen to what you recorded, and you did a great job on your assignment. I was super impressed with how many times my name came up in a story about masculinity. but I was really appreciative of the conversation, and I love the opportunity to kind of sit with you guys and reflect on how that conversation went with you all together in the room. But also, I had a few kind of thoughts and questions from what you had talked about as well.
Well,
I'm a little nervous. How we were graded, and now we have follow-up questions.
You will get graded. I've been graded by Dr. Mehta before. I will say, though, it's good to have you sitting next to us. Oh, when we really did that, it was like, where's Shivani? Where, you know, it just felt a little a little different, naked. Is that, can I say that word?
I don't think so.
No. It did.
We'll just do like a life-size cutout, and I can sit right in this chair here.
We need like if that ever happens, we each need one. Does Queen City Podcast do life-size cutouts? That's part of the branding. Okay. All right.
Awesome. Well, you know, one of the things that definitely stood out to me is how much in your men's group that you were able to get to where you were because you asked really tough questions of each other. And we're able to kind of foster an environment in a space where that was allowed and okay. I'm curious, just from that, like, how did that even come to be? Like, who drove that work to be able to say, like, we want to get together and ask really hard questions of each other on our free time?
Yeah, so it was one of our friends who went to Harvard Business School, and we're hoping that they come, and I'll let them tell the story better. But he took a class at Harvard Business School where a professor brought in leaders from corporate America, different spaces. I don't think it was just corporate America, but he brought them in, and the idea was they would tell their story and then be open to hard questions that could be about your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of adopted that as this way of getting to know each other and turn it into what John mentioned is our 30 for 30.
Yeah, he just very intentionally said before, you know, we had this sort of connection to community. I remember one of the first things we did was just to learn about the men's shelter. And we toured the men's shelter back before, now it's Roof Above, but before they had the change in branding. So there was a connection, I think, for all of us being active in the community. But we had literally two guys per month. And before we did anything else, everybody had a chance to share their story. And the questions were pretty poignant. It was challenges you had to overcome. What are your values? What do we not know about you? You know, what is your untold story? And then literally every other guy in the group that had a chance to ask questions. And, you know, as I shared some in the episode, I learned things about guys I went to college with that I just never knew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. Same here.
Yeah. I imagine what it would do if boardrooms and community organizations and leaders and, you know, people in the community that are doing all the hard work did that, right? Like had the chance to really get to know each other at the depths, the cores, knowing each other's stories and then moving forward and what that does to the idea of seeing another person and actually understanding them and knowing them and then working together to affect change.
That's right. And there's a chance for learning. So I think we may have simplified it that we leave the episode, that could be true for this too, but then we leave the meeting and everyone's in agreement. We did make an agreement that when we leave the meeting, we're all going to leave as friends, which we do. But there are some times where people just say, yeah, I don't get that. I still don't get that. I don't believe that's true. And it's taken meetings over meetings. And then someone will finally say, hey man, you remember when I said I didn't get that? I actually really get that now. And so it's been a work in progress, too, but allowing that progress to happen while still being friends and the disagreement to take place while still being connected.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The idea to agree to disagree, but allow time. Right. Respectfully and allow time to actually get to an end point. You know, you kind of talk about like how sometimes you have to table the discussion and say, like, you know what, we're not quite there yet. We're not seeing eye to eye, but I respect you as a human being. And so I respectfully want to kind of just pause until I can reflect a little bit more, think about it a little bit more, and then kind of proceed and try to understand. And
exactly.
I think that willingness to want to understand, to want to see the other person is so important in that, right?
Yeah.
If you're blocked and you don't actually have that willingness to be open to seeing and to hearing, then you miss so much more.
That's right.
The conversation. The other thing I kind of heard in the conversation was kind of going beyond the status quo of anything, really, like the status quo of relationships, which make us kind of conform into certain ways of thinking and acting and behaving and speaking to one another. But when you do have that courage to go beyond the status quo, you can either redefine it for yourself, you can redefine it as your relationship with another person. I think you used the word of like being uncategorized, right? Like, I don't have to fit to this one mold. I can be more than that. And when I have that allowance to engage with another human being and you know, be free enough to share myself, but also to accept and listen to the other person, you're able to break that status quo and not have so much of the disconnect of, in my mind, I should be this one way, but I'm really feeling this other way, and really being your authentic self for yourself, but also for other people.
Yeah.
Brandon, you said something that really struck a chord with me with this tightening, you know, who you are, what you want to be, and then what you care about. And that really resonated a lot with me because I was sitting there. For me, it's just more and more I'm practicing just, I really connect deeply. Like, I'm a very empathetic person. It's hard for me not to say really what I, you know, I had a friend over the weekend get married, and the bride had her sorority sister sing Ave Maria, and this woman's voice was incredible. Like, it rattled the church,
And I'm moved. I'm like, oh, this is a, and I couldn't just go up to her and say, hey, that was pretty cool. Right. I was just like, I heard the depth of your soul. I mean, we're talking about deep stuff. And then other people are like, I heard this, Brandy. And it was just, it was cool. But I don't know any better other than to just, that's me of like, I felt something. And so I think that can be, there's a, maybe a category that, okay, I shouldn't feel as much because I'm a man or I'm this. And that's what we're, another thing we're trying to do is just break all these categories and stigmas and just be you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I actually tried this. So you mentioned kids, and we'll get back to the three, making sure you're consistent with who you are and who you're depicting and how you perceive yourself or want to be perceived. So I tried this recently, and going back to kind of, I think, my, as I was growing up, it was very much, you know, a child's place was to be seen, not heard. You know, you didn't talk back. And so I've been really trying to break away from that a little bit. And so I got some really good advice to say, why don't you ask your kids sometime, like, how can I be a better parent or better dad? Mm. And so I actually tried it out and just being vulnerable. And I put it out to my son. I was like, hey, you know, I was just thinking, like, how can I be a better dad? And he was like, well, you know, you're a really good dad, but you go to work. I was like, well, son, I can't really change that. He was like, but when you get up, you kind of like go to work really quickly and you get to work really quickly and I don't get to spend a lot of time with you in the mornings. And so I was like, oh, that's very insightful. I just go about my routine. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that I was somehow maybe neglecting you or I should be spending more time with you or that you even noticed that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I do think some of these things that we have traditionally said, like this is the role of a parent, this role of a man, this role, whatever it is, I think reassessing that and mm-hmm. being vulnerable to be receive feedback and change it, even if it's from a little kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite insightful, those little children. I totally think you guys did a great job.
Okay.
Yeah.
On your conversation.
That's great. That's great. Are there
I
report
did miss
cards?
You guys. Huh? Are there I'll give you an A+. Yes. Yeah. Well done on your reflection of the brain as a complex organ. Yes.
That was pretty. That was the one of the most medical things that was said.
That is a fact.
That is a fact. Yes. So I appreciate you guys doing that. And it was really fun to listen to. And I hope the listeners also enjoy listening and kind of reflecting a little bit more on their own depth of conversation and communication with people that they have maybe known for a really long time already.
We invite you to continue making room with us. You'll find this episode and all of our exciting and meaningful conversations on Apple, Spotify, or really anywhere you choose to listen to podcasts.
Join the Making Room movement and get more info at makingroomwithus.com or follow us on Instagram at makingroomwithus.
Thank you for showing up for us and each other. Until next time.
So full of truth, just as you are, just as you are. You're welcome here, just as you are.